This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers and sisters in Islam and welcome to the story of the best of creation Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So you're formally invited to a beautiful journey back in time to find out what really happened to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and the lessons learned behind it and the reason we learned the seerah. What is the Quran all about and the tafsir and the asbab in nuzul, the reason of revelation. Who was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What can we learn? And how can we deal with people, especially out in the Western world? And how could we follow suit the role model, the best of all, the best of creation, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And how is it that we can build a bridge from the past to have a pleasant future? And the best present, inshaAllah, is the one we have. So let's make the best of it. Let us go back in time and find out the history behind the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and find out the origin. And let us go back to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and find out what the history of the Arabs and the environment that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was come to change for the best of generations. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the sahaba, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah be pleased with all of them, the best of generation that is his. In that essence, inshaAllah, we'll find out that the history repeats itself. And one of the most important lessons we learn, inshaAllah, that we will have to take that wisdom behind everything we do. It is not just a matter of history. Anybody can buy a book, and anybody can open it and read and find out what exactly happened. But we are going to take these seerah, brothers and sisters, to find out who we really are. Look in the past and find out where we come from, our origin, and make sure that we follow suit. And we will understand that our goal, inshaAllah, is to find out how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived, so we can follow suit, and how the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, lived, so we can follow them in Jannah, inshaAllah. Wallahu musta'an. With that, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. Ameen. Going back in history about the Arabs, that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a command to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam to take Hagar radiallahu anha and take her to that massive land where it's supposed to be, where everybody else will be going to migrate. And that is story in itself is a beautiful story. But we're not going to stop in too many places because we want to come to the essence. But we'll give you a brief background, inshallah, going through history to find out the environment that surrounded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the origin that Al-Karim ibn Al-Karim ibn Al-Karim, the child of a generous man, of a generous man, of a generous man. This honorable lineage of prophets and messengers, the father of all the prophets and messengers, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let us find out how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the command to take Hagar and go to a place where nobody else would have accepted. But the lesson learned from that, akhi and ukhti, when Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam took Hagar to a place where no one was, and she asked him, when he was turning around, walking away from her, "Are you leaving me here?" Two narrations. One, he did not say anything and walked away. And the other, he only said one word, "Na'am," yes. But what did that beautiful, strong, faithful woman say? Did she say, "Who are you leaving me to? What are you doing? Have you done?" And so on. Did she question that? La wallahi. She says, "Allah amaraka bihada." Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the command to leave me here? When he said that word, na'am, the strength of iman showed with true colors. That's what I'm asking the sisters, inshaAllah. Have faith in Allah, ukhti. If your husband gives you a command, in the command of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, do not hesitate, ukhti. Do like Hagar, radiallahu anha wa alayhi salam, used to do. She said, إِذَنْ لَيُّضَيِّعْنَا. When she asked him, "Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the command to leave me here?" When he said, "Yes," she says, "He will never lead us astray." And that is a strength of iman, ukhti, it's priceless. When you have that in your heart, wallahi, nothing will stand in front of you. And with that, the story began. Ismail alayhi salam, when he was born, He was born in a place where no one was. And going back in history, you find out that the Arabs' origin was actually in Yemen. And qabilas called Jurhum, when they had their own water well taken out. And now they had to migrate. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to get the source of nourishment and the source of provision on the tip of a wing of a foot of a prophet, Ismail alayhi salam, when Hagar gave birth and she started to run between the Safa and Marwa, and that's the reason we do the same thing when we perform Hajj and Umrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you if you have not performed Hajj and Umrah, and may Allah accept from you if you have performed Hajj and Umrah, inshaAllah. And now when she's running, looking for a source of nourishment and provisions for her newborn child, Jibreel alayhi salam, on the tip of his wing, Zamzam was born. Zamzam, the word Zamzam in itself came from Hagar. It says Zam, meaning that she wanted to encompass, so doesn't want to lose the water. And even though Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wallahi, if she let it go, it would have been a river running, subhanAllah. But it wasn't meant to be. But the true miracle of this world that is still running up till now, quenching the thirst of millions of Muslims around the world, and no one still up till now does not know the source. Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula knows best. But it's another miracle by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to the history of Yemen and the tribe of Jurhum, when they left Yemen, looking for more provisions after the water sources now taken out of Yemen. As they were traveling in the desert, they saw birds hovering. And they were very smart travelers. They knew that when the birds hover, they knew there was a source of water. So they came toward it. And who did they see? They saw a woman alone with a newborn. But look at the beauty of the Arabs at the time, of the generosity and the moral conduct. They could have easily killed her. They didn't have to ask for her permission. But they asked for her permission. Can we live amongst this water well? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her a source of provisions. Why? Because she passed the test. She had taqwa. And the proof is in the Quran, أخي أختي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla fi ula says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Those who practice piety, consciousness, love and fear of Allah, Allah will provide for them from a source that they did not expect and find a way out from difficulties and hardship. So if you're going through difficulties and hardship, أخي and أختي, all you have to do is practice taqwa. I know, wallahi, it's easier said than done. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you that blessing of taqwa, be thankful to Allah and hold on to it with your hand and teeth, akhi and ukhti. But how you will know you have taqwa is only one time you will find out whether you have taqwa or not. When you're all alone, inshaAllah. When all the doors are closed and only Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula is the only one that sees you, you will know whether you have taqwa or not. It's not our topic, but just a quick reminder, inshaAllah. So the scholar says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ أَهْوَنَ النَّاظِرِينَ إِلَيْكَ. Don't make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the least of your worries of those who can see you. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will provide for you. So look at the beauty of this story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just gave her a company that will keep her safe, but also they gave her sustenance. It's like rent or fees for using the water. Subhanallah, about the honor. So how are we doing, akhi and ukhti? Are we honoring our words? Are we taking things that don't belong to us? Or should we do the right thing as Muslims, living Islam to fully? And you will see, inshallah, Nasira, how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of moral conduct as a testimony of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. In Quran yutla, in this Quran was recited from the seventh heaven till judgment day, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you are the best of moral conduct for us as the uswa and the role model. Wallahu musta'an. Again, when we know that Ismail alayhi salam was not among the Arabs. He was called Al-Arab al-Musta'riba, meaning that he learned Arabic from that Qabila Jurhum, the tribe of Jurhum that came from Yemen. And he grew up with them. And he married from them. And as such, hence the Arab peninsula at that time came from Yemen originally. But the descendant, okay, for sure that was Ismail alayhi salam with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, When Ibrahim alayhi salam came back, and we know the story about what happened, but it was time for him to build the Kaaba. There is different narrations. We're not going to go into too much into different narrations between the fuqaha and what are the stories behind it. One narration said it was Adam alayhi salam that built the Kaaba, and it was rebuilt by Ibrahim alayhi salam, Wallahu a'lam, from the son of Adam, Sheikh. And Ibrahim now was actually asked to rebuild it on that foundation of Sheikh, the son of Adam alayhi salam, Wallahu a'lam. Now Ismail alayhi salam comes in to do what? To help his father. To do what? To build this beautiful Kaaba. And it came to that zawiya, this corner of the black stone. And Ibrahim alayhi salam looked for Ismail, and he didn't find him. And all of a sudden this beautiful stone was there, and he was given by him. And it was narrated that it came from the heaven. Wallahu a'lam. And it was supposed to be white. And one narration said, it was blackened by the sins of the mankind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify us from the sins and show us that what is right and follow it, and show us that what is wrong and stay away from it. Ameen, inshaAllah. When Ibrahim alayhi salam put the hajar, this black stone, in its place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a command to do what? Wa'adhin, and give a call to people. Why? To come to perform Hajj. Look at the beauty of this lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a command to Ibrahim alayhi salam to only declare, call people to come to perform Hajj. And Ibrahim alayhi salam says, oh Allah, I'm only one man. And the world out there, how can I relay the message unto them? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ibrahim, alayka al-adhan, wa alayna al-balagh. O Ibrahim, all you have to do is take the effort, the asbab, take the causes. You just call and we will relay the message. We learn a few things, akhi and ukhti. We cannot sit back and do nothing and say we are mutawakkilun. We are now among those who put our trust in Allah. La ya akhi and ukhti. There is a major difference between tawakkul and tawakul. You put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after ittikhad al-asbab, as you learned. After you put your effort, you do your planning, you do your best to seek or ask for the sustenance of provisions. And then you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. But you can't sit back and do nothing and say, أنا متوكل, I put my trust in Allah. لا يا أخي, هذا is the wrong, هذا فهم خطأ. This is the wrong ideology and the wrong understanding about this whole method, inshaAllah. This is called tawakul. I'm sitting back and do nothing. لا wallahi. The scholar says, you put your plan and your effort. Even Maryam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked her to shake the trunk of the palm tree that you will get the dates, so we can learn from that too. Allahu musta'an. The true miracle of it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a command to Ibrahim. He did not question. He did it. He obeyed. But look, when the people came back, thousands of years later, people come back and say, لبيك اللهم لبيك. Subhanallah ya akhi. Thousands of years later, a call is given and people come back and say, لبيك. Here I am, O Allah, answering your call, that call. So what do we learn from that, akhi and ukhti? We learn patience, my brothers and sisters. From the dua, the supplications and the prayers that you do. You ask and ask and ask, and the hadith is the same. I asked and asked and didn't get anything. But we in istijal, we are in rush, we want things, kun fayakun, be and it is. La wallahi, tikhad al-azbab, take your effort and plan. And atlib mat'amak takun mustajab al-da'wah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. You have a lawful source of food, you will be answered your prayers, inshallah. But now look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. That beautiful miracle, people come from all over the world, say the same banner, لبيك اللهم لبيك. Whether they speak Arabic or not, under the same banner, أخي and أختي. We all have one Lord, one Qibla, one Quran, one Prophet, one goal, one sustenance, and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we submit that raya, the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, biha nahya wa namut. On it we live and die, and with it we meet Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Let us unite inshaAllah under that one banner, akhi and ukhti, and be in that inshaAllah, so we can be resurrected under that, muwahidun inshaAllah. And now, when the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam went to do it, and people at the Arabs at that time, they were actually muwahhidun. They actually among the monotheists. They followed Deen Ibrahim alayhi salam all that time. Subhanallah. Till it was time from some of the people that changed. You will see in that story a bit later, inshallah. Amr ibn Lu'ay, Sayyid Qabilat Khuza'ah, he's the one that started to struggle with the tribe of Jurhum. For what? For leadership. And that's when we lose it, akhi and ukhti. The ummah is one, walhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. Another verse, وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. This ummah is one, and I'm your Lord, so worship me. Another verse, this ummah is one, reiterating that fact that we are one, wallahi. This ummah is one, has no boundaries. The boundaries were done by our enemies. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this ummah is one. And I am your Lord, so worship me. And another verse is, I am your Lord, so have taqwa. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is connecting the unity of this ummah with the act of worship and the act of taqwa. Piety and conscience of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the true slaves and true worshippers to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. And give us the blessing of taqwa, insha'Allah rabbil alameen. So when Amr ibn Lu'ay, the master and the leader of Khuza'ah, of the tribe of Khuza'ah, started to struggle with the tribe of Jurhum, hence to run Mecca, and of course the Hajj, and Idara, the administrator of the pilgrimage, and Kaaba in itself. At that time, Huzimat Jurhum. Jurhum lost the battle with Khuza'ah. So what they did? Jurhum said, if you are going to take it now, what happens? We are going to Radn. We are going to cover this bi'r, the Zamzam, the well of Zamzam. Because he said, if we're not going to have it, we're not going to let anybody else have it. And from that time, Zamzam was actually buried beneath it. And tell Abd al-Muttalib, subhanallah, hafaraha. He started to dig for Zamzam again. He did see a dream, a vision. But Khuza'ah controlled Mecca for 300 to 500 years. Difference of narrations. And Amr ibn Lu'ay was a very generous man. He used to feed the people, quench their thirst. He used to look after the Hajij, everyone that comes to visit the Kaaba, he used to look at after them. So, كَانَ لَا يُرَدُّ لَهُ أَمْرُ. So no one refused his command. He was among the honorable society. And because he was such an honorable man and a generous man, he was the leader of their community and everybody respected him and followed his order. Amr ibn Lu'ay, he traveled to Asham. Asham, what is known now to be all these countries that we're not going to go into, that Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Palestine, and so on. And he went to find a qabila called Al-Amaliq, meaning the giant ones. They used to worship Al-Asnam, the prostrated and worshipped idols, statues. And now they said that these people feed us, these people quench our thirst. So Amr ibn Lu'ay, he bought one. What did he get? He got Hubal. And he commanded people when he came back from Asham, coming back to Mecca, he says, this is now your Lord, worship it. As he was known to be the leader, no one questioned him. And everybody followed. Subhanallah. We cannot be just followers, akhi and ukhti. We cannot be followers to anything that goes against the Qur'an and Sunnah. يُؤْخَذْ بِالْعُرْفِ. We will take traditions. We will take the cultures. No problems, wallahi. Islam admires that and takes it. مَا لَمْ يُخَالِفْ نَصٌ صَرِيحٌ وَلَا حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ. As long as it does not contradict a clear verse in the Qur'an or a hadith that it authenticated, we say we are Muslims. We submit our will to God Almighty. We say now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a manual. This beautiful Qur'an, do this and don't do that. To me, prosper. Allah creates, knows best what's best for us. Could you imagine, akhi and ukhti, if you buy a car, the man that invented this car, or the woman that invented this car, told you to put the gas here, the oil here, and the water here. Could you imagine saying, nah, I don't think she knows or he knows what he's talking about. I'm going to put the water here, the gas here, and the oil here. How far the car will run? Imagine, my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. and He knows best what's good for us. He gave us this manual, and we say we will take some of it and negate some of it. Whatever according to our whims and desires. How could we call ourselves Muslims? Muslims, you submit your will to God, akhi and ukhti. And the seerah will teach us that, inshaAllah. To see what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do. To be the uswa and take the lessons learned. So Lu'ay, Amr ibn Lu'ay told them to do that and they submitted. And what did he do? He changed the talbiyah. He says, same talbiyah, but he says, إِلَّا شَرِيكٌ هُوَ لَكْ تَمْلُكْهُ وَمَا مَلَكْ. No shariq lak, except there is one shariq lak. You own him and he doesn't own you. SubhanAllah. It makes no sense whatsoever. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I see Amr ibn Lu'ay yajur am'a'ahu fil nar. Walayyadu billah. As if I can see Amr ibn Lu'ay, that man that changed the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Imagine taking the sin of everyone after that, akhi and ukhti. So be a key that opens the doors of righteousness. And be a key that closes the gates of evil. Not the other way around, inshaAllah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it, akhi. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يكن أحدكم إمّعه. Don't be a follower. بل وطنوا أنفسكم. Be steadfast and hold on. إن أحسن الناس أحسنوا. If people are good, be good to them back. And if they were bad, تَجَنَّبُوا إِسَاءَتْهُمْ. Stay away from that. But we at least have to hold on, be firm. Don't sit on anybody's lap, because the first one that will fall off is you, أخي المختي. But you can understand now, if you enjoin good and forbid evil, everyone that will follow your command, according to the command of Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will get the reward for that. Till Judgment Day. But could you imagine being like Amr ibn Ayy, wal-ayadu billah, asking people to start committing shirk? And we understand that it starts that way, akhi and ukhti. We will finish with this, inshallah, this episode. Because it is that important. We understand that even things start. That's why the scholar says this innovation is among the worst. It is, some according to the scholars, is the second worst act of disobedience. The number one is shirk. We know that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Meaning of the interpretation. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives not the act of shirk, to ascribe partners unto Allah. And He forgives everything else other than that to whomever He wishes. But you can understand, my brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even says, Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. This act of shirk is the grave oppression. Is the greatest oppression. You oppressed yourself, akhi and ukhti, to stay away from heaven and to go to hellfire. That's the greatest oppression you can do against yourself. ظُلْمٌ لِغَيْرِهِ وَظُلْمٌ لِذَاتِهِ. Yourself and others. So don't be that, akhi and ukhti. And that's why when we say, الْأَصْلُ فِي الْإِدِّينَ لِلْتِبَاعِ لَيْسَ الْإِبْتِدَاعِ. The origin of this deen is to follow, not to innovate. This path was already given to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that. He says, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today I have completed my favors upon you. I have completed the deen. This religion is done. والحمد لله. And I have chosen Islam to be your religion. So for us to follow, even the tabi'een used to cry. The followers of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een used to cry. Why? Because they said, how could we be like them in Jannah? They beat us to it. He says, مَنْ سَارَ عَلَى الدَّرْبِ وَصَلْ. Those who follow their footsteps will meet them in Jannah, inshaAllah. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who follow them to meet them in Jannah, inshaAllah. وَآخِرْ دَعْوَاهُمْ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّمْ عَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَالتَّابِعِينَ. جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.